Dear friends, the focus of my message this morning is actually going to be on our text from Acts, Acts chapter 6 and the stoning of Stephen. Nothing like having a stoning lesson on Mother's Day. The two just go so well together. Man, they just fit wonderfully. I remember one of the first crises that I experienced in my life. It was the summer of second grade year. And the crisis was this. My parents decided to move, to build a new house. I think the year was 1987. At least that's what I put into the cement. I got in trouble for that. The crisis was this. I really liked the old house. The old house was perfect. Maybe you've had this experience before. The lawn was the perfect size for a baseball field. And there was a fence that was a perfect home run fence. And there were instant players that lived in the neighborhood. I could just knock on their door and we had an instant game of baseball. It was great. And all of those friends went to the same school. We were very close-knit. Now, the new home wasn't perfect at all. It wasn't great in any capacity, at least from my perspective. The new home didn't have a baseball field. It had big, tall pine trees. Spokane has a lot of pine trees. You try to hit the ball, and the ball just knocks down. It doesn't go over a fence. You can't even get it through the trees. It was obnoxious. And there weren't any other children around to knock on their doors and come out and play baseball. And moving also meant that I had to go to a new elementary school, Hamlin Elementary School. And the first day in third grade, as that summer ended, I went to school, and the biggest guy in my class, Connor Higgins, I hope he's not listening to this over the internet, Connor Higgins punched me in my gut as hard as he could. And I remember going home and going to my parents and crying, "It's not fair. This is absolutely horrible. Why can't we go back to our old home?" That's the first crisis that I can remember in my life. Do you remember a crisis that you've gone through? Maybe you're going through a crisis today. It's okay to talk about it. Mothers know about crises, maybe more than anyone else. And it's okay to talk about it because if you look at Acts chapter 6, this is the first crisis of the early Christian church. With the stoning of Stephen, Acts chapter 6. And before we jump into this text and talk a little bit more about it, it's important to just say this. It's actually really shocking that this is a crisis because you'd think that Christianity would be going through a honeymoon period at this point in Acts. When Stephen is stoned to death, it is literally just a few days. You can almost count the days since Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, Jesus' disciples are still gathered in that close proximity in Jerusalem. And some great things had happened real quickly after Jesus' death and resurrection. Peter speaks a sermon and 3,000 people are brought in faith. Boy, I wish I could preach a sermon and man, I wish I had half that number. That's an amazing thing. And as Acts chapter 6 begins and these other chapters begin, you see this little word. More numbers are added to the faith. Disciples are coming out of the woodworks, left and right. You'd think that the Christian church would at least have a honeymoon period of, say, 30, 40 years. But no. Right from the very get-go, the church experiences crisis. Stephen is stoned. Not just that, but in chapter 8 it tells us that those who were living in Jerusalem were dragged from their homes by the coats that they were wearing, and they were thrown into prison. And those who actually made it out from Jerusalem, they had to lose their homes and lose their identity and live in foreign places with foreign languages. Now, there's a misinterpretation of the book of Acts, so I just want to get out right in the open here. Many, many people translate or interpret the book of Acts as a triumphal book in which thousands are added to the Christian faith. But a closer reading of the book of Acts shows that it is full of mass amount of crisis and difficulty. In fact, you scratch your head and wonder, how will the Christian church ever last? Crisis. If you look up the word crisis in the dictionary, there's a technical definition. I just want to share with you this morning. because it helps to define when we're going through something that might be a crisis. This is what it is. A crisis is a moment of time in which you experience when you're upset or disorganized, so much so that an individual cannot cope anymore. But also this, the dictionary says that this crisis can also be a radical time of positive growth or a time of great negativity. Upset, disorganized, remember those words. Crisis also can be a radical positive moment or radically negative. Scientists in the 1940s, in describing crisis, put values to different life experiences. And here's what some of them were. It was a scale of 1 to 100. The death of a spouse was put up there at about 95. The loss of a relationship right around 80. On the low end of the spectrum, this was in 1945. You can look this up. It's a very famous spectrum. On the very bottom of that spectrum, 1 to 100 was having a mortgage over $10,000. You can see how outdated that is. Going on a vacation, but on the very end, a crisis can be something that's upset. It disorients us. It takes us off our normal routine, our status quo. The important thing to recognize this morning with the early church and with what's described in the Bible is that crisis is inevitable. It is just a part of life. It's happened to every single person here this morning. The challenge for us is whether that crisis is going to be radically positive or very much so negative. And I don't know how it is with you, but I have to admit to you that so often for me, it has been negative, like the experience of second grade, coming home to my parents. It's just not fair. I want to go back and go home. And I have to tell you, in Acts 6 and 7, there were probably many Christians that were saying the same thing. Lord, we've lived in Jerusalem for hundreds of years. This is not fair. We shouldn't have to leave and learn a foreign language and go off and find a new home. It's not fair. Well, what's important to note this morning is that when we experience crisis, very positive outcomes can occur in our life. That actually happens in the book of Acts. Think about it. Stephen is stoned on the spectrum. That would probably be 110. Doesn't get any more violent and wild than that. But while Stephen's getting stoned, did you notice who was watching and listening to what was happening? A young man named Saul, taking it all in. Perhaps this is a catalyst to Saul coming to the Lord Jesus, and growth happens. And what we learn in Acts chapter 8 is these people, it's called the diaspora, they're sent out. As the Jewish leaders of the Christian faith were sent out, Christianity is spread to places like Ethiopia, Asia, Europe. Positive growth through crisis. Then there's another example in the book of Acts. We have two guys that are very close, Paul and Barnabas. They traveled together. They probably packed their same suitcases together, the way the Acts reads. They're very close, but they come to some sort of disagreement. And I'm not going to go into detail about that. Paul goes one way. Barnabas goes another way. This is on the crisis scale, is up there near a 70 or 80. Paul becomes friends with a young man named Timothy. And Paul develops a whole new missionary strategy of planting Timothy in small churches. The church grows through crisis. At the very beginning, at the very ending of Acts, a shipwreck happens. Paul lands on Malta and he's bitten by a snake. Now, on the scale of crisis, personal illness is way up there, being bit by a snake. Yet Paul is opened up to the possibility, well, he speaks to the chief, and all those people on that little island become Christians. Growth through crisis. Dear friends, I know that we all know this passage from Romans chapter 5. Actually, complete the words with me. I want to see who can complete the words. We take glory in our suffering, for suffering produces, does anyone know what the next word is? Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Romans 8 puts it this way, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. When Jesus frames our crises, it can turn out in a very good way. Remember that, framing. When Jesus frames our crises, it can turn out in a very good way. Frames can make a big difference in a painting, can't they? If you're like me and you pick a bad frame, it doesn't make the picture look very good. In fact, your eyes are drawn to the frame and you wonder, who purchased this? Who put that frame on that painting? Have you ever had that experience? And sometimes actually a bad frame can bring out the bad characteristics in the painting. You know, when we place that kind of frame, a negative frame on Acts 6 and 7, you can read this as a tragedy that should have no place in the Bible. Why is this here in the Bible? It can go to a negative place. But isn't the opposite true? That if you have a good frame, it can bring out the quality and the beauty and the artistry of a painting. And when we put a good frame on Acts chapter 6 and 7, we see God's hand at work. He's growing the church through crisis. God is at work bringing his kingdom through someone's death, and Saul moves on to lead the church into the future. So here's a personal question. How are you framing your crisis? How are you framing the pictures in your life? Is it a good frame? Is it positive? In second grade, I have to admit to you, that summer, I put a really negative frame that made my situation look far worse than it actually was. There was no lawn to play baseball and no friends, and the school was totally different. It was a terrible situation, but now looking back on it, if I really put a good frame on that move, it makes a totally different picture. Because in that new house, yes, there wasn't a baseball field, but down in the basement, there was a pool table. That was cool. And although there weren't friends immediately, there were great friends that I became friends with later in life and went to school with. And there was a great art teacher and great teachers in that new school at Hamlin Elementary. So much of life is about framing things in the right perspective. Friends, I want to tell you one story, just insert here, off the cuff. I didn't put this in my sermon, but I heard a great story about Joyce Settles yesterday. I asked the family if I could share this, and they did. One of her grandsons, a grandson-in-law, was here at the service, and he came up to me, and he said, Jeremy, I want to tell you about something that happened back in 1982 at this church. When Joyce's husband died, Orville was his name. It was somewhere in the early 1980s, 1982, 1983. See, this grandson-in-law was dating the granddaughter at this time, and everyone in the family was disappointed. Because they wanted the granddaughter to marry some fancy guy that was going to go really to extraordinary places and accomplish great things. And this grandson, he didn't meet everyone's standard. Joyce Settles framed him in a way to introduce that young man to the family, brought grace to him, and that couple has been married for over 30 years. Framing things in the right way can make a difference in the relationships and pictures that we have in life. You know what? Isn't God in the business of framing things? As we look in the world, it looks unhealthy and broken. John's gospel says the world did not see Jesus. It was broken. God sent his son Jesus to frame the world. And framed with Jesus' forgiveness and mercy, the world looks in a whole, it looks a whole new way as a beautiful artwork for us. Hasn't God framed you with Jesus? Without that frame, we don't look all that great. We look broken and unhealthy. And he sent his son Jesus, and through his forgiveness, You look like a sweet picture. The best parts of you are seen very clearly. Your good works are shown. It's because you're framed by Jesus. So let's go to work today and put picture frames on the situations in life, even those moments that are crises, and give grace to the moment. Amen. Let's pray about that before we sing our sermon hymn. Lord, today's a special day. It's Mother's Day, and Lord, our mothers do that so often for us. They frame things in the right way. When we say things are one way, they give grace and see things in a whole nother way. Lord, we help. We also recognize that's what you do to us through your love and mercy and work of Jesus. You place that frame around our lives so that we're seen in a good light the way that we're supposed to look. Lord, give each one of us a heart to give grace to others and the situations and circumstances that we face. Lord, we know that you're at work in all things. Even in a moment of Stephen's passing, you had a good plan to move your church out into the world. May we frame our tough situations as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.